All right. Listen, tonight, last week we talked about growing up in the Holy Spirit. We talked about growing up spiritually. We talked about spiritual maturity. How many of you felt like you grew up last week? That's all right, like two of y'all. That's okay. That's cool. That's cool. That's all right. I told you tonight's going to be interactive. Y'all was like, maybe a little bit, sort of. All right, so listen, tonight is part two to the message from last week, but tonight has a specific focus. Last week, the message was grow up. Tonight, the title of the message is when I grow up. When I grow up. I just told those guys, I want to be like them when I grow up. You know, in my experience with young people, I ask people all the time, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you aspire to? What makes you smile? What makes you excited about life? What do you want to be when you grow up? And patting little kids on the head. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a firefighter. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be, I don't know what I want to be. I don't know. You know, growing up, one of the wonderful things about growing up is it's realizing what you're growing into. I want you to understand that growing up is only exciting when you're growing into something. When I turned 30 years old, I had a hard time. I'm serious. I had a hard time because I was like, man, 30. I ain't 20 no more. I'm old. I still had a passion for youth ministry. I was like, the kids are going to swear I'm old. They're going to think I'm old. I don't do the thumb thing real fast. And my thumbs get cramps in them and stuff. And I'm all this other stuff. And the Lord really ministered to this to me. The Lord told me, look, you're turning a year older, but you're still growing up in me. You've got something to be. You're going to grow into something. And so tonight, my question to you is this. What do you want to be when you grow up? I'm not talking about chronological. I mean, in the spirit. What do you want to be when you grow up? What is your spiritual dream? I believe last week, some of you grew up in the spirit. Tonight's question is this. What did you grow into? What's your ambition? What do you desire to see of God? You know, if you could write a request in the spirit realm and say, God, I want to be this for you. What is that? I believe spiritual ambition is a good thing. I believe spiritual ambition is a wonderful thing because it is different than worldly ambition. The worship team was talking earlier about how the battle is rigged, right? You're fighting a winning battle, and when you start fighting from a position of you've already won, you fight different, right? Like if you were meeting a bully on the playground, and the bully showed up, and the bully was like 6'5", 185 pounds, just straight muscle. You'd be a little intimidated, right? Like, oh, okay, well, maybe I was. When I said you was ugly, what I really meant was you weren't really ugly. You didn't hear me say not in front of the word ugly. Oh, my bad. You know, I was just joking. Right? But if you had a bully on the playground and you were out there and you were all nervous and stuff and you're like, man, I got to fight this dude. I don't even know what he looked like. And what if he's huge? And man, he's probably got like muscles on top of muscles and places muscles ain't supposed to be. And well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then the dude walks up and he's like that big. Yeah, put up your dukes now. What you gonna do now? You fight different. You're like, what? Get out of my face. You fight different when you know that you can win. You fight different when you know you're going to win. It's different. So your spiritual ambition takes on a different character, knowing that you can have whatever you want with spiritual ambition. I can do all things, not just some stuff. I can do all things. If your spiritual ambition is to see the dead raised, guess what? That's possible. If your spiritual ambition is to see cancer eradicated, guess what? That's possible. If your spiritual ambition is to see a whole public school in revival, and you don't even go to public school, but I feel like I want to see a public school in revival, that's beautiful. Guess what? That's possible. Nothing is impossible in God. So tonight's question is this: what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? What do you want to be? Let's get into it. Last week we taught you this. Number one, growing up does not mean you lose or miss out on your youth. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. This is a review, a quick review. It says this: and his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some apostles, special managers, some prophets, inspired teachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, and some pastors, shepherds of his flock and teachers. Now listen to this. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, which is the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure and the stature of fullness, of the fullness, I'm sorry, the measure and the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. Number two, we taught you that the body can't grow unless you grow, come to completeness. Number three, we taught you that growing up means freedom. Infancy is a state of slavery. So that's kind of a backdrop, because Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that growing up in the Spirit means that you come to fullness. You come to completeness. And that completeness, there are people like me, people like volunteers, people who are around you whose job it is to pastor you. And in pastoring you, it is our job to protect what God is developing inside of you and call it out of you. And sometimes it's like pulling teeth. Literally. You would have thought that I wanted to extract your molar. Hey, come here. I need you to pray. Oh, no, Pastor John. No, that can't be me. No, I can't pray. I don't know. Get somebody else. I can't pray. No, come in. You would think I'm coming at you with pliers, trying to pull the back of your teeth. I said, pray. Boy, I said, pray. And then Pastor John, no. My favorite cartoon, man, and this is a rabbit, but I'm going to chase it because I have to. My favorite cartoon, one of my favorite cartoons growing up was this vulture. It was a Warner Brothers vulture, this vulture, and his mama was like at a nest, and his mom told him to go out and find some food, and he'd fly through the air, go, my mama done told me to bring home some dinner. My mama done told me to bring home some dinner. And he go chase Bugs Bunny, trying to catch him to bring home the dinner, right? Some of y'all laughing because you've seen that cartoon on like old reruns and stuff. Some of y'all are like, dude, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. That's crazy. But that's exactly what you act like whenever we come to you, wanting you to develop your spiritual gift. Come here. We see the gift of prophecy. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. I go fly away. And it's our job to help call that out of you. Listen, each and every one of you are gifted. You're all gifted. Every last one of you. And we need those gifts. We need those gifts. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get into this thing. So, what do you want to be when you grow up? Number one, you were created for a purpose. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Now, I did not put these verses up on the screen because I want you paying attention. I want you taking notes. I want you reading in your Bible. So if you have a Bible, open your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, and it's if you have a Bible on your phone, then that's wonderful. Get that bad boy and go to the app. If you don't have a Bible with you, then what are you doing? This is church. Bring your Bible. All right. Very good. Hallelujah. Somebody got with me. All the parents are like, amen. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. This is an Amplified. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in Amplified, but this one I had to do. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says this: before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, I want you to understand that there are two scriptures that I'm going to read that refer to prophecy. We will talk about prophecy on a different night. I'm not avoiding that conversation, but we ain't got that long. My little clock back there say 29 minutes. That's all I got. All right? We will talk about prophecy on another night. Number one is this. You were born on purpose. You were created with a purpose, and you were born on purpose. Make no mistake about it. For every individual who is alive and breathing in this room, somebody somewhere didn't make it. It's a harsh statement, but it's the reality. You should be happy, excited. You should feel blessed at the fact that there is breath in your nostrils. You are still here. And the fact that you are still alive means God's not finished with you. Amen. You still have something to do. I'm looking at you eyeball to eyeball, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 year old. And others in the back that I won't count that high. All right. I'm looking at you eyeball to eyeball telling this to. I want you to know that I have looked at 95-year-old little women who were almost on their deathbed and told them the exact same thing. There are people who were your age that did not make it. And the fact that you are still here means there's still purpose for you. I don't know what it is about very old people and teenagers that makes you think that you're useless. Literally, it's something you have in common with older people, like elderly. Don't know what it is about you guys that make you think you're useless and that you're worthless. You were born on purpose. Most of you in here are 13 to 18 years old, right? The heyday of abortion happened when you were in the womb, which means you are a survivor. Let's get real, 1440. That means you're here and there is something on your life that got you here. God had intentions and purposes for you. And I'm not saying that he didn't have intentions and purposes for the ones that didn't make it, but you're here. So for everyone that didn't make it, you have a responsibility. You're here. You were born for a purpose, on purpose. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to debunk this a little bit. First and foremost, it says, he knew and approved you. The word knew is the Hebrew word. Hold on, my tablet did something crazy. The word knew is the Hebrew word yadha. Yadha means to know or to understand. And I want to read this verbatim just like my dictionary read it. It says this: knowledge. It means knowledge conveyed by this verb is not an abstract entity. Rather, it is something which the subject is aware of without question. It's something God is aware of without question. There's no question about you. You're not a mistake. You were not an accident. Before you were formed in the womb, he knew you without question. God is not into wasted space. He's not a wasteful God. Everything he creates has a purpose. Something preachers say all the time that I think is pretty interesting. They say this. God said, let there be light. And light shot out of his mouth at 186 miles per second. It's pretty impressive, ain't it? That's preachery right there. That'll preach. Hallelujah. We'll say that one night and then we'll take up an offering. Glory. But listen to this. God did say, let there be light. Light does exist. It did shoot out of his mouth at 186,000 miles per second. But that ain't even the good part. Here's the good part. It's still going. Every time you turn on a light, every time the sun rises, every time a star reflects light, every time the moon beams light to earth, it's traveling at 186,000 miles per second, and it does not stop. Not for you, not for me, not for nothing. The Bible even says of light that light shines in darkness, and darkness can't even understand it. You see, everything that God creates is not only good, but it's lasting. It continues. Here's the other thing. When Genesis says that God created light and he saw that it was good, you see, the Bible translated from Hebrew into English so that we can understand it is a wonderful thing. But you have to go back to the Hebrew sometimes to understand the meaning of the word and maybe some of the meaning that the translation loses just a little bit. The word good, the word that he saw it was good, listen to what good means, pleasant and useful. God is not into wasted space. When he creates something, he creates it and it pleases him and it has a purpose. It's not only good, but it's useful. So let's apply that same understanding to that verse in Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you and I approved of you as my chosen instrument. Before you were born, I separated you and set you apart, consecrating you. His intention is to use you. His intention is to use you. Do you think he created light and said, hey, it's good? And then he created you and said, whoops, messed up on that one. No. He looked at you and said, now that's useful. That's useful. That's useful. That's useful. She's useful. He's useful. He intends to use you. And not only that, but it says that he as my chosen instrument, before you were born, I separated you and set you apart, consecrating you. Your purpose is to be used. God is also not into idle space. My grandma used to tell me, idle hands is the devil's workshop. What does that mean, grandma? My hands ain't idols. They don't even look like Buddha. I don't know what you're talking about. What does that mean? That means that when you're not doing anything, when something is still and it's not moving, it's idle. Like a car. She wasn't talking about idle like I-D-O-L. She was talking about idle like car. He's not into idle space. He's not into just taking up something just so that you can exist. Listen, look at me, look at me, look at me. I can help you end your depression tonight in one statement. I can help you end depression tonight in one statement. I can help you help somebody else end depression tonight in one statement. God has never created something that he didn't take pleasure in. Never. The whole Bible, not never, not never, not never. Even when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and sin could not be in the same place as God, when he was separated from his creation, he still looked at them and said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm going to make a way. He spent the rest of history making a way for you to get back to him. And when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, the veil tore so that you could get back to him. And now you have the right, the boldness, you can embody the same level of intimacy with God as Jesus has, because he wanted so badly to come back to you. He created you for communion with him. He designed you for communion with him. He made you so that you can't really exist and have happiness without communion with him. And he is beckoning you to communion with him every single solitary second of your life. He has never created something that he did not take pleasure in, that he didn't take personally. You're here to be used. You were set apart. Isn't that what the scripture says? Which means that you have a specific function in the kingdom that you were specifically called for. It amazes me that each and every one of God's children has a specific function in the kingdom of God that only you can do. Now, God's God. And if you flake on your assignment, he fills in the gap. But he don't want to. He wants to use you for what you were called to do. He wants you to sing the song. He wants you to pray the prayer. He wants you to be used in the ministry of helps. He wants you to be used in the ministry of greeting people when they come through the door. He wants you. 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 It's like you were in the heavenly draft, and he said, round one of the heavenly draft, God selects and calls your name. And you come out there, yeah. I want to thank my mama. Everybody who was my friend, I love all y'all, man. I'm gonna remember y'all. He wants you, man. He's calling for you. Here's the other thing. Let's get a little deeper in this. Number two, there is a divine plan that God has for your life and the use of your gifts. Say that again, let it sink in real good. There is a divine plan that God has for your life and the use of your gifts. Yours. Why? Well, because before you were formed in the womb, he knew you. And since he knew you, he had intimate knowledge of you. He understood you, deep understanding, not cursory understanding, but specific understanding of who you were. When you were being formed in the womb, he was instilling inside of you specific things to be used for the kingdom. You, not somebody else, but you. We're going to talk about why I keep saying you in just a minute. Jeremiah 29:11, I like to call this the graduation scripture. It's what we put in every single graduation card ever. You ain't Christian unless you get this in your graduation card. Now, some of y'all going to graduate and be like, I didn't get that scripture. They must not believe I love Jesus. Okay, look, no. Listen. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The word know is that word, the same Hebrew word in this verse as it was in Jeremiah chapter 1. Yadha, which means to absolutely understand. But here is the part that I really want to get to you, okay? Listen. The word plan in this scripture is a really long Hebrew word that I can't say. I ain't even going to attempt it, but I will give you the definition. Creative design, an understanding of the depth of the design. So that word plan does not just mean, oh, well, he's going to be a doctor. That's my plan. Whew. Man, is it Sunday yet? Can I rest? No, that's not what God did when he put a plan in place for you. What God did when he put a plan in place for you is this. He took attention to every single detail of that plan. When the word plan says creative design, it means that he got down to the very minutiae of the design of you. When it says he knows the plan, it means he knows the specific design for your life. You have a specific design. It's all yours. It's in your DNA. Look, it took scientists years to understand that there are things about you that cannot be replicated in any other being on the planet. That's why your fingerprint is important, because your fingerprint cannot be replicated. Police, take your fingerprint. God put things inside of you that was not like anybody else's. And he knows that design on a detailed level. And the scripture says it's not just for now. He doesn't just know what you're supposed to be doing today. He has a design for your future. He has a design for your future. He knows exactly what you are going to be, what your potential is, what your capabilities are. And not only does he know those things, but he knows where you're supposed to go, who he's going to put in your life, where you're going to, what books you need to be reading, what camp you need to be going to, where you need to be shopping, the people you need to be talking to, what university you need to be looking at. He knows where you need to make connections, the connections you need to avoid. He knows what you need to be doing and putting yourself in the midst of, and he knows how to keep you from the things that are going to harm you. He is constantly working that design to the detail of where your day goes on a daily basis. Now you can look at me, and I keep saying it's for you. Here's the thing, a lot of y'all already know this. A lot of you, like, I heard that scripture 80 million times. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Let me tell you something. Does anybody know the difference between logos and rhema? Yeah, some of you do. Some of you are like, I don't know, sort of. Okay, listen. This Bible right here is logos. It's always true. You can put it up against any equation. You could add it, subtract it, multiply it, or divide it to any situation. And the things that are said in these pages are always going to be true. From Genesis to Revelation, this is always true. Regardless of how you feel about it, regardless of whether or not you feel it, regardless of whether or not it elicits some type of emotional response, whether you laugh or cry when it's read, it's always going to be true. It's universally true. It's logos. Here's the deal. The difference between logos and rhema is whether or not that's just universally true, or is it true for you? Is it true for you? Is it real for you? Are you applying it to you? Here's the deal. You may know that God has a plan. Everybody knows that. God got a plan. But does he have a plan for you? Well, they don't say my name in the Bible. And it still applies to you. He's still aware of your absolute intimate needs. He's still aware of who you are and what your desires are. Listen, we harp a lot on the fivefold gifts in ministry, right? But God is so cool that God's not limited by that. If you can't preach, if you can't sing, and you can't pray, well, everybody can pray, but you can't pray like Laurie Sanders. I don't know many people that can pray like Laurie Sanders. All right? For whatever reason, you have communicated it to yourself or got it in your head that you can't be used in the kingdom. Let me tell you something. You have gifts that are unique to you, and God wants to use them just as important as this microphone, just as important as me. Your giftings are just as important. Maybe you have a desire in your heart to dance. God wants to use that. Look, ain't nothing wrong with dancing. The devil perverted dance. All right? The devil ain't ever created anything. He's good at perverting stuff. All right? Maybe you write short stories and that's what you do. But God wants to use that. You know, maybe you're gifted in graphics and design. God wants to use that. Maybe you can mime real good. I can't mime worth a nothing. I look like I'm just trying to push stuff away. God wants to use that. Number three, it's not hard. It's not hard. It's not hard. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says this, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts, especially that you may prophesy. It's not hard. A lot of people come up to me in absolute tears, wanting to know what God's intention is for their life. And I tell them this, baby, you're making it harder than what it is. When in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, when it says eagerly desire spiritual gifts, the Greek translation there is not just spiritual gifts, it says spiritual things. Eagerly desire the things of the Spirit. Somebody asked me once, and I'm going to share this with you, and I know that adult service is out, so we're going to wrap this up, but I'm going to share this with you real quick. Somebody asked me once, somebody said, came up to me, gave me a wonderful compliment. Pastor John, you hear from the Lord, and man, I wish I could hear from the Lord like that. How do you hear from God like that? All right? Now, I want to tell you something, 1440. I belong to you, so if you see me doing something, and you want to know how to do it, I had a pastor when I was just a little bit older than you, when I entered into ministry, who would show me everything. He would pray for people at the altar, lay hands on them, they'd fall out on the floor, and he'd turn around and say, this is why that happened. People would get healed, he would look at me and open the scriptures and say, here's that right here, it's being modeled. So anytime you see me do something and you want to know how, come ask me. But anyway, this young person asked me, they said, how do you hear from God? I said, listen, I got two secrets. Number one is realize the rhema word of God on your life. Realize your calling. What does the word say and what is God speaking that the word is saying to you? My calling is to pastor. Maybe that's not your calling. Maybe it is your calling. But whatever that is, you need to realize it. And you need to be faithful to it. You need to do it. Number two, stay in the sweet spot, baby. Stay in the sweet spot. When I'd play basketball, I know y'all, it's hard for y'all to believe, right? When I'd play basketball, there was one spot in the backyard where I could shoot and always make it. That was my sweet spot. All you got to do is stay in the sweet spot. What does the verse say? Eagerly desire spiritual things. You get off when you start desiring things that are not of the Spirit. But if you can just stay in the sweet spot, if you can stay in the place of the Spirit, if you can stay in constant communion with God, you don't have to work it up. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to have a five-year plan. It's nice if you have a five-year plan, but God transcends that. If you can just stay in the sweet spot and hear from Him, and when you're not hearing from Him, get in His face, chase Him. What does the Bible, what did it say? Eagerly desire. That word eagerly desire means be zealot for. Cultivate spiritual gifts. Constantly working on your spiritual gifts. Why? Because when you're healthy spiritually, everything else manifests itself physically. Stay in the sweet spot. Don't try to go all over the yard making shots you know you can't make, man. Stay where you know you can make the shot. It's rigged. You win. So stay in the winner's circle. Why would you do anything else? So here's the deal. Tonight, and I know we have to close, so we're going to close. But I don't want to miss this opportunity. Tonight, maybe you would say, I just don't know what God wants me to be. I just don't know what that looks like. I haven't gotten a complete revelation of where God wants me. Tonight, we want to pray with you. We want to add our faith to your faith. We want to reach out and put our hands on you, knowing that God is going to speak to you. He's faithful. He's not going to just listen to you pray and go, you know what, I'm going to hold it back for 3 more years because I just like to see your ass for it. No, that's not my God. That's not how he works. Number two, maybe you know what you're supposed to do spiritually. Maybe you have spiritual gifts that have already been stirred up in you, but you know that you need to develop them. And you're having a hard time staying in the sweet spot. No shame, no condemnation in that, but we're going to pray with you. We want you to stay in the sweet spot. Number three, maybe you know what you're supposed to do spiritually. You know what your spiritual gifts are, and you've been staying in the sweet spot. I've been reading. I've been praying. I've been seeking God. But it just hasn't opened up yet. I haven't had an opportunity to use my giftings. We're going to pray with you as well. We're going to put our hands on you. We're going to believe that your opportunity to use your giftings is going to come and come soon. And I'm going to tell you this, as your pastor, I intend to use your giftings. You're at home. Where better to be used than at home? We want to protect you. We want to develop what God has gifted you to do. If God's gifted you to pray, man, we want to connect you with some people who are older than you and wiser than you and know how to pray and know how to use that as a weapon in the spirit, and they're going to teach you everything they know. If it's your gift to pastor, man, I am all about talking to you, mentoring you. Pastor Donnie is here. We have pastors that are on. We got people who don't carry the title pastor who have the calling of a pastor on their life, who is all about mentoring you. Whatever your calling is, we're going to find a way to use it. But God's not in the idle space, and neither am I. We want to call those things out of you. So if I can get my musicians to come back and get you to stand up with me. I know adult service is already out, and we're not going to belabor the point. If I can get just some adults to go outside and let them know we're coming. Tell them don't storm the building. I know they stormtroopers and everything. We're coming. Listen. It's the heartbeat of this ministry to see you used. And so if you're here tonight and you are not saved, you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, man, look, he is beckoning and calling you with open arms. And he wants to use you just as much as he wants to use somebody that's been saved all their life. So with every head bowed and with every eye closed, we'll get you to bow your heads, close your eyes. This is serious. If you're here tonight and you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to be just a little bold. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. Just be honest. It's okay. Just slip your hand up. All right, we all saved. Here's the deal. I'm going to call an audible prayer. Altar workers, I'm going to call a quick audible because we are pressed for time. I'm going to ask you to come up front. If I can get all my altar prayers to come up front. We're going to open up a time of worship. But here's what I want you to do. If you're sitting out there tonight and you would say, Pastor John, I was in category number one. I really want to be used for God. I just don't know what. I don't know what God, I don't know what he's calling me to. I don't know what my giftings are. We want to pray for you. And when you come up here, I want you to tell these altar prayers what you're here for. And you don't have to go into a long, drawn-out spiel. Just say, hey, I'm really seeking God for what he's called me to do. If you're in group number two and you say, I know what God's called me to do, but man, I need some instruction. I need some cultivation. I eagerly desire my spiritual gift, and I really want to develop it. I want you to tell these altar ministers that and let them pray with you. And if you're in category number three and you would say, man, I have been working on my spiritual gift for a long time and it just can't seem to find a space to be used, I want you to tell them that and let them pray with you. We want to identify what God is placing in you, and we want to be able to use what God is placing in you. And so if you fall into those three categories, on the count of three, I want you to respond. I want you to come find somebody, and I want us to pray. One, two, three. Come on. Maybe you're still wrestling with the idea of what God's called you to. Maybe you know what it is, but man, it scares you. I want you to feel like you can come. This in my spirit before I came in here. If you're a young lady and God's been speaking to you about using your spiritual gift for the kingdom, and you just don't know how what you're good at connects with God, you know, maybe it's something strange or I don't know necessarily, but if you're a young lady and you've been trying to figure, Lord, I know you've given me this talent. I know you've given me this gift, and I know that I'm good at it, but I really want to use it for your kingdom. I just don't know how it fits. I want to ask you to come. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come. Give you some very specific instruction. If you're not being prayed for, if you're not responding to the altar call, quietly, I'm going to dismiss you. I'm going to pray for you and we're going to dismiss. If you need to go and get with your parents, go ahead and do that. But don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, I believe that you are calling us for very specific things of the kingdom, and we want to be good stewards of that. And so, God, as we get ready to leave this place, God, I pray that you would give them visions. Let them see your intention for their life in their mind's eye. God, we trust that you don't make junk. We trust that you have an intention and a design, a specific design for every young person here tonight. And we thank you for the opportunity to be used in those gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.